Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm Emma McAdam, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is the podcast where I condense mental health skills, bite-sized habits to help. If you're ready to learn more in-depth mental health skills, check out my online courses on anxiety, coping skills, and how to change your brain, 10 alternatives to medication to improve mental health. The link is in the description. You can use the code NUTSHELL for 25% off. Hi everyone, Emma McAdam here. I've got a new favorite book about relationships, and it's called The 4 Habits of Joy-Filled Marriages. So in this little nugget of help, I'm going to sum up why I love this book and what I learned from it, including how to turn on the relational circuits of your brain. And I'm also going to talk about what the 4 habits are. So let's start with why I loved this book. I love this book for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's solution focused. So instead of focusing on problem solving or, you know, communication skills to manage conflict or negotiation skills or whatever, this book is all about bringing more joy and happiness and love to your relationships. And this makes so much sense because the reason people get married in the first place is not so that they can communicate well or stop being a jerk. It's so that they experience joy and love together. And this book really teaches you how to strengthen your relationships and specifically your marriage by shrinking the joy gap. The joy gap is basically the length of time between having joyful experiences with someone. So the second reason I love this book is because it's pretty short. It's succinct. I mean, like, look how thin it is. I mean, I like short books because really I don't have that much time, and most people don't have that much time to read things. So there is a ton of information out there about relationships, but this one's just really concise and it's still like really action packed. It's full of good stories and examples. So that's another reason I love this book. Reason number three, I love this book because it provides dozens of really simple exercises. They're like 15-minute activities that you can do with your spouse every day to increase the joy and the love in your marriage. The basic idea of this book is that when you have joy more often, you feel more affection and appreciation for each other. And when you have more affection and appreciation for each other, you feel joy more often. And that's what makes your marriage strong. And while you can't force joy or love to happen, you can choose to do these little activities that foster joy. According to the authors, there are 4 main habits of joy-filled marriages. So number one, it's play together. Number two, it's listen for emotion. Number three is appreciate each other. And number four is to nurture a rhythm. But before we go into detail on these habits, I first want to talk about my number one takeaway from this book, which is the idea that there are 2 main settings for your brain, the relational brain and the non-relational part of your brain, which I don't think in this book they actually give a name to. I'm just going to call it the transactional part of your brain. But let's talk about the relational part of your brain first. So the relational part of your brain is the part that connects. It's gentle and it's kind, and it relates to others on their level. And the transactional brain is all about problem solving and risk avoidance. They give this analogy of there being like a switch in the back of your neck that you can turn these relational circuits off and on. And when we practice one of the exercises from the 4 habits, it's like turning that relational switch on. And when we just try to make problems go away, it's like we're functioning with that part of our brain off. The author's idea of the relationship circuit really boils down to the brain science research on attachment. So attachment is basically the most important thing to our brain. I would say it's even more important than survival, like physical survival. Loss of attachment, like death or divorce, are among the most painful experiences in our whole life. And love, family, and connection are the most joyful parts of our life. The authors basically boiled down attachment research into 2 types of bonds, a joy bond and a fear bond. And when we have a joy bond, our relationships are focused on connection and growth and love. And when we have a fear bond, we pay attention to the problems. We see threats where they don't exist, and we constantly notice the bad, and then we gradually grow apart. They say your capacity to handle the weight of life's problems directly relates to your capacity to live with joy and return to joy after experiencing upset emotions. Joy keeps our relationships intact, even when there are problems or upsetting emotions. But you aren't stuck with your attachment style. The authors highlight neuroplasticity, which is one of my favorite words, and they teach you that you can change your brain. You can enlarge the joy bucket in your brain by constantly using it. The joy bucket is your capacity for joy. So this book lays out the basic ways to turn on that relational circuit and fill up your joy bucket by doing four types of exercises. And they use the word CAKE as an acronym to do it, which is great because I love cake. C is for curiosity. So anyone who's been in a marriage knows that we all just carry these stories about our spouse. We tend to label them as being bad at this, or she always does that, or, we tend to selectively filter out situations that support our stories about them. So they're exercises that have to do with curiosity. They teach you that instead of labeling your spouse, curiosity is about noticing your narrative and pausing and looking for alternative facts. So instead of assuming, you wonder what your spouse is thinking or feeling. You get curious about your spouse. A is for appreciation. When the relational switch is off, you can't remember what you even appreciate about the other person, and you feel resentment instead. So take a step back and make a list of the things that you appreciate about your spouse. And when you share that list, you'll feel less resentment, and your spouse will act more like herself or himself. K is for kindness. So when you're in your transactional brain, you'll feel like winning instead of being kind. The author says, "I've learned to go through a simple checklist of the things that Brenda likes. This includes initiating holding her hand, telling her she's beautiful, giving her an item she's mentioned needing, or taking initiative around the house." And he's found that when he does this, it makes him feel more affection for her, and it invites joy and love in their marriage. Okay, the fourth one is E. E is for eye contact. One sign that your relational switch is off is that you stop making eye contact. And the simplest way to turn that relational switch back on is to make eye contact. Eye contact is the foundation of attachment and love. Like, just think about how joyful it is to gaze into a little baby's eyes, or to look into the eyes of your lover when you're falling in love. So many of the exercises in this book, they involve eye contact as a way to turn on your relational brain and to expand your connection with your spouse. So for an example of turning on the relational circuit, let's say your husband comes home from work and he seems a little cranky. So you say, "What's the matter?" And he's like, "My boss is such a jerk. He's giving me a hard time about this deadline, but he keeps changing up the project on me, and it's impossible for me to do this." And anyway, if the wife is stuck in problem-solving mode, which is something I do a lot, she might say, "Well, can you talk to him? Maybe you could be more assertive with him. How come it's taking you so long to do the project, etc.?" You know? Then the husband is going to feel more distanced from the wife, because she's not connecting with him. She's just trying to make the problem, like his crankiness, go away. If instead she turns on her relationship circuit, she might say something like, "Dang, that sounds really stressful," you know, connecting with that emotion. And she might look him in the eyes and give him a big hug. She's connecting with him on an emotional and relational level first. Maybe instead of saying anything, she just rubs his shoulders and listens to him talk about his boss for a while. And maybe he'll talk, or maybe he won't. And in the end, maybe he'll find a solution to his problem, and maybe he won't. But at the very least, he'll know that she cares about him and that she's on his level. And regardless of what happens at work, their relationship will get stronger. And the premise of this book is not, like, you can't make joy happen. You can't force yourself to feel love or joy in a relationship. And when we've been hurt, it can be really easy to try to numb yourself and to check out, to avoid or distance yourself, to protect yourself from future hurt. So we start to fall into these patterns of fearing instead of loving our partner. And our brain starts scanning our environment for problems to fix instead of for blessings to appreciate. And that's what makes it almost impossible to find joy. So instead of doing that, you can develop habits that help you foster joy and move through pain and build more appreciation by doing the four habits of joy-filled marriages. So let's talk about what those habits are. Habit number one is playing together. This seems pretty straightforward, but basically you just need to plan times to play together and to learn new things together. Plan special events together. One of the things they teach in this book is how to plan in time to do relational sex, which they go into a lot more detail on in the book, but basically it involves eye contact and appreciation and time to pause and cuddle and express more appreciation. And this whole section, it has great exercises that involve looking into each other's eyes and saying nice things and stuff. So, I mean, you gotta buy the book if you really wanna learn about all these exercises. But that's the first habit, right? Playing together. Habit number two is listening for emotion. And they say communication is useless if your relational circuits aren't on. So you can use all the skills of empathic listening or whatever, but if you aren't in your relational brain, it won't matter. So he tells the story of being upset after a fight and his wife trying to get him to talk, but that never worked. Like when he was upset, he didn't want to talk. So instead, this time, his wife just sat by him and held his hand. And eventually he was able to feel safe and reconnected again, and they were able to restart the conversation from a better place. So listening for emotion is really a straightforward skill, but it can be really hard to practice because our knee-jerk reaction is to listen for problems. So one of the exercises in this section is to just ask your spouse about their day and to listen and reflect back only the emotion, so you're not allowed to do any problem solving. There are so many more good stories and details that they use, and I just really can't cover them in this video. So seriously, buy the book. And just in case you're wondering, this is not like a paid promotion. It's not sponsored. I just found this book and I really like it. Okay, so habit number three is appreciate daily. So in this section, they teach the skill of appreciation, which is different than gratitude. So saying thank you is a polite transaction. It's something we're supposed to do. And appreciation is feeling shared joy. We feel appreciation while we're looking at a sunset. It's like this sense of wonder and happiness to be spending time together. The book says, when appreciation levels are high, your marriage is joy-filled. When resentment replaces appreciation, marriage feels like a burden. Appreciation attracts, resentment repels. So they teach you to establish a routine of expressing appreciation. You might choose to do this at night before you go to sleep, or you could do it during the day by sending a text message. One of the exercises in the book is to write down three times you enjoyed being together on a vacation, and three things you appreciated when you were falling in love, and three more things that you're appreciating here in the present moment with your spouse. And as you write those things, you're basically reinforcing the joy that you felt in the past and in the present, so that you can feel more joy in the present moment. Okay, we're on to the last habit. Habit number four is nurture a rhythm. So this chapter is all about creating space in your schedule to relate and connect. So they say the first and simplest reason that the joy gap starts to expand is tiredness. It's hard to build joy when you feel worn out and you lack margin. So as parents of three little kids, my husband and I feel this one, right? If you're so busy and so packed with to-dos, then your relationship often falls through the cracks. So they recommend doing really simple things together, like eating meals together, taking the time in the evening to relax and chat about your day. And most of the exercises and the things they suggest take about 15 minutes a day. But a lot of couples can't figure out how to find the time to do them. So let's think about that for a second. 15 minutes a day. If you don't have time to put 15 minutes into your marriage, then you're too busy or you're not planning well. They say, you develop an affection for what you appreciate. Appreciation leads to affection, and affection leads to more appreciation. It becomes a cycle. As you learn to start your day relationally, end your day relationally, and schedule regular times for relational connection, your capacity for joy will dramatically increase and your margin for rest will follow suit. So there you have it. That's the basic idea of this book. Now, obviously, they go into a lot more detail and they give some really great examples, but I hope this summary has given you a few ideas of what you can do to improve your relationships. Thank you for watching and take care. All right, Ready, Freddy? Hi, everyone. Emma McAdam here. I sound like Kermit the Frog. Let's say your husband comes home from work and he seems cranky and you're like, what's the matter? And he's like, my boss is such a jerk. He's giving me a hard time about the deadline. And if the... Gosh, I can't do this. This podcast was adapted from a YouTube video from my YouTube channel, Therapy in a Nutshell. So if you'd like to see more of my videos, check that out and go subscribe on YouTube. Also, you can sign up for my newsletter at www.therapynutshell.com. Thank you for listening and take care.